Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to be getting into marketing tomorrow. And actually, in our next two segments, we're going to divert a little bit just due to the exigencies of du jour. Anyway, I know we've been talking and kind of laying out this argument of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, the scale of liberty, natural law, and now we're working our way into republicanism. And these things are very critical. These things are very important. American, by the way, American republicanism, not just republicanism or just a representative government. There is definitely a difference. So we're going to get into this because these are the fundamentals that you need to understand, because I'll probably say this later. But the fact is, these are the things that transcend everything. They transcend demographics. In other words, you know, the racial groups, the gender groups, and those types of things. Individual liberty transcends all demographics. It transcends, and it points out the importance of putting aside our self-interests. The Democrats are very divisive. The progressives, or I should say the communists, are very divisive. They want to use divisive factors such as race, gender, orientation, and anything and everything to try to get you to focus on that instead of the things that transcend all of us, which is what government is not supposed to be. I guess the best way to say it is government is supposed to be blind, just like our legal system is supposed to be blind. It doesn't matter what your race, what your gender, or even your orientation, your cultural group. Those types of demographics should never matter. That's why America was a melting pot. That's why America, the e pluribus unum, the concept of from many into one. We have to get back to these fundamental basics and understanding the importance of liberty, the importance of natural law, and the importance, because if we maintained our focus on the principles, on these fundamental principles, we wouldn't have an education system driving dogma down the throats of our children, getting our children to believe that their liberties need to be surrendered so that they can be taken care of. They're convinced that they need to be taken care of. Anybody that's a parent that has a child in the education system today, shame on you if you are not countering the indoctrination and brainwashing that your children are getting. And you will have your day of reckoning when your children actually move towards the Bolshevik Revolution and say, we want, you know, we do not want our liberties. We want to be taken care of. And they're getting that from a lot of the greatest generation who had to have their Social Security. Well, hey, the future generation of the Bolshevik Revolution wants their free college education. They want free access to everything. And what will end up happening, because they've been indoctrinated not to see the reality, what will end up happening when they obtain their communist revolution, they will realize it'll be too late, but they will realize that there's not enough producers to take to give to the takers. In other words, there's not enough makers to take from them to give to the takers who want to do nothing. And so you will rue the day if you do not wake up, if we do not turn this country around and go back to the fundamental principles and force. We need to force constitutional compliance. It is the law of the land. It's not the law of democracy and mob rule and what we want to do for ourselves today. As you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that will give you the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions in getting this country back into the into firing on all cylinders and working the way it is supposed to work, to where you and I can get out and be productive. This is unacceptable. It is unacceptable to watch a land of freedom be turned into a communistic state as it is being seen today. From the socialism of healthcare, the socialism of agriculture, housing, energy, and all of these things that the federal government has taken and seized control of, as well as the states now. And watching this, if this doesn't get you motivated to say, okay, I see what communism can do and will do, and it will hurt us all. Because they just shut down a lot of makers in the land of plenty. And what does that mean? They've just converted makers into takers. We need to do something about this, friends. And if you're not going to start demanding compliance, and I'll tell you, this coming election will be the telltale sign. There are opportunities for you to actually find somebody. If you don't have a candidate, a good constitutional candidate, then you need to get that person and groom them quickly. So there's a gentleman that I've been working with that wants to, and is actually moving with teaching people Republic Review and his county and so forth. And God bless people like this man. He's apparently has a neighbor. So he listens usually to these shows, and he has a neighbor that's the sheriff of the county. If you're looking for candidates that can easily become elected, those people that have the opportunity to actually, you know, step beyond that badge, step beyond that county, step beyond that city council, the county commissioners and so forth. We need your most constitutional candidates in your state legislatures, because you need to get your state legislatures to stand up and audit the Constitution against the general government so that you can delineate every single infraction that the federal government is exercising, or powers that they have no constitutional authority to exercise, and shut those things down. In retrospect, what will end up happening is you'll realize that because the environmental agency, the protection agency, doesn't have a constitutional standing, you will have to then take on those roles at the state level, whether you want to keep them or not. That's up to you. It's the same thing with housing. Do you really want to be the communist state of Montana? Do you really want to be that communist state of Oregon to dictate what standards of housing are? You got to remember, Lincoln grew up where they all lived in one room. In other words, they cooked, they ate, and they slept in one room. It was a single room cabin. That was the standard of living. It's great that we have an improved standard of living today, but it is arrogant for us to see and look at, oh, that's too low of a standard of living for here in America. You know what? There are people that are willing to come here, work hard, and that's how they become successful. If you read Thomas Sowell's book, Black Rednecks and White Liberals, after he talks about black and white in America, he talks about middleman minorities and how they become successful, because the Chinese, the Jewish folks, these different folks that have migrated and become importers and exporters of goods and so forth. These people, they do anything and everything they possibly can to save and get ahead. And 9 times out of 10, when all of a sudden the economy turns bad, they're identified as the bad guys. But truthfully, here's a person that's living in their shop. They, you know, the entire family lives in the shop, and you know, they're just doing everything they can to get into a normality, to increase their standard of living. We shouldn't be looking down on people like that. The Vietnamese, when they came here, unconstitutionally through the Refugees Act or whatever that mechanism was that violated the Constitution and bringing blocks of people here. Well, now that they're here, the fact of the matter is they actually quartered themselves where they had multiple families in one house. And then as soon as each family could afford to get their own house, they worked to do that. Go look at Orange County. There are lots of Vietnamese in California. I know there's a lot of Orange Counties throughout the United States. But go look at California's Orange County. The Vietnamese community is thriving because they actually worked hard and they lived in humble beginnings. We should not be throwing people in projects and saying, this is how thou shalt live, and then getting them used to the handouts. That is tantamount to slavery. As you know, I just went down a huge, and I'm losing track of my time and everything else. We're going to be heading into a break. We have Red State Coffee. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you can get to the link to both our crowdfunding, our Red State Coffee, if you want to support this show and what we're doing. If you drink coffee, shame on you for not buying and drinking your Red State Coffee. That's one way you could really help us. Secondly, one of the things that we do want to do is we want to get you involved. So send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, if you do not know what to do. This election is critical. We also have a phone number. It is 425-270-5416. Call us and ask us, what can we do? 425-270-5416. And that number is on our website, reclaimingtherepublic.org. We're here to help, and we're not from the government, if you understand what I'm saying. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
To kind of close my my plea to you, there's a few more pleas that I have, but I'm pleading, I'm begging, I'm beseeching you to convince that sheriff, to convince your county commissioner, to convince a good, strong constitutional candidate that their services are needed. You need to go, state legislators need to go into a state of emergency. We are in the middle of the constitutional crisis. If you do not realize it, This is everything boiling to the head. We need action. You've got to convince that sheriff. You've got to convince that county commissioner, who is a good, strong, constitutional conservative, that they need to step in. We need to replace every single rhino. We need to go rhino hunting and make them extinct. We need to remove them. We can easily find a good sheriff to replace that good sheriff. And as a matter of fact, that sheriff probably knows somebody that can replace them. What they need to do is they need to step up. And as a matter of fact, I don't want them to even, if they do not realize that we have a mechanism so that they can actually move from the state even into Congress. Remember, there's an amendment out there that can actually blow up Congress and displace them completely forever by getting your state legislatures to amend the Constitution for that first right or that first amendment that Madison put out there. That amendment is still sitting out there that has never been ratified. I think there's 11 states that have ratified it so far. So we just got 20 some odd more. Let's get things done. We can do this. And then you can tell that sheriff that, okay, maybe there's not a job for you permanently. Maybe you're not going to make as much money as you'd like to make, but it'll be a stepping stone so that you can become a Congress member in the new Congress once we ratify that amendment, once we take back this country. Because the only way we're going to take back this country is by implementing true representation. The framers recognized that you're not being represented when you're being represented by anything more than 30,000 or 50,000 people per representative. How can one person represent a million? Impossible. 50,000 is a fraction of a million, a very small fraction. It's a 5%? Anyway, fact of the matter is, my friends, what we need to do is we need to get those people who are already public servants. They are the best and the easiest. They're a household name. Get them to stand up and challenge these rhinos, these good-for-nothing people that have been trying to butter their bread on every side of the bread possible. We've got to get rid of them. The other plea that I have is please help this listener drive in expanding this show and getting more people to tune in. We're talking about solutions. We are not just trying to entertain you or consume you with these problems of, you know, what's going on regarding your Second Amendment rights. Quit worrying about a myopic issue. Look at the entire Constitution that is going to be torn away. It is going to be burnt and shredded. Your liberties, or all your liberties, are going to be gone. It's not about the Second Amendment. It is about your property. As I have said before, and that's why we're going to get into Madison's property. You have rights in your property, and you have property in your rights. And every time they steal a liberty of yours, they've stolen your property. What we want to do is we want to make sure that in this listener drive, tell people GR is not, he is not a polished conservative entertainer. That's not my desire. My desire is to empower you with the knowledge necessary to initiate what we call Republic Review. I also want to plant this seed. We've got Constitution Day coming up. We want to make sure that you are getting engaged in doing something to help elevate the Constitution and constitutional awareness and its importance in our everyday life. If you don't understand it, look around at what the heck's going on in this republic, and then you can say, that's why the Constitution is important, because these are all the things that are violations of the Constitution, and these things should never be happening. We do have a listen line, by the way, and I haven't said this in a long time, but dial 605-562-4209. If you can't stream, if you can't listen because your car doesn't have a radio station in, let's say, Cleveland or some of the places where we actually have airwave transmissions, just use your dial-in and then you can listen via your phone. Most everybody has unlimited minutes for phone calls. 605-562-4209. And so now we are going to just leap forward because I need to just keep moving on, and I'm not going to do a recap. We already know that we've covered natural laws and man's law and the divine rights of authority opposed to these concepts of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. We are the sovereigns, not these people, not the Obamas, not the Clintons. They're not sovereigns. These people are shills for an agenda. What I was asking last time when we started going through this, what is a federation and what is a confederation? A federation is a body, a governing body that is delegated the authority to take care of the matters for the republic. If you understand, a republic can have a federation, a republic can also have a confederation. They both have a general government or a federal government. They both, you know, delegate powers, but in a federation is where all powers are delegated to that general government. In other words, the states and or the bodies that create that federation in that republic really become administrative bodies, that the general government becomes a centralized and controlling government of all things. In a confederation republic is where you have we call them states in our republic. So in the federation and confederation, they're states. In a federation, those states are administrative heads only. In a confederation, the states are autonomous, independent, and sovereign over all things that they have not delegated to that general government. In our confederation, we have delegated very specific things. In our federation, we have not delegated general powers. So the question is, what do we have? Is our constitutional republic a federation or a confederation? Both possess, like I said, both possess a federal or general government, and a general government in both can and is often referred to, as I have said, a federal government. This is why so many people do not understand this. This is why I try to throw people, you know, a curveball by saying, in our hybrid constitutional republic. Hybrid, what does that mean? It's because we have both. We actually have a federation and a confederation because we have delegated powers, very specific powers that are exclusive to the federal government. The powers to wage war, the powers to be able to tax, to do the things that they need to do. In the confederation, and in most confederations, a general government is just really more of, you know, keeping the peace amongst the republic. It doesn't function well as an external protector in creating, you know, defenses and having a military and those types of things. Most of those confederations are very inept. So what we ended up getting was a hybrid constitutional republic where we have both a federation and a confederation. We have created a federal government with very specific and very strong powers in defending us, controlling our relationships. In other words, they have full control over our foreign affairs. Whether we can import, whether we should export, it is up to them. States can't bypass the federal government in those things that we've delegated. Now, for the most part, we are more of a confederacy than a federation because more powers were left to the states, such as housing, healthcare, energy, education, all of those types of things. Those are state rights, state power issues because they are not enumerated issues to the federal government. Even more so, religion. This is the one thing that really baffles people. And I sometimes when I'm on other radio shows, I don't necessarily want to glaze people's eyes over, because when I say states have the authority to establish a religion, wow, it just throws people for a curve. They go, what? That's against the Constitution. Absolutely not. If you understand, the 14th Amendment only protects individual privileges and immunities. It doesn't protect organizational privileges and immunities. And that's why the states during the Civil War and even after the Civil War were still allowed to have state-sponsored religions after the 14th Amendment was ratified. That's right. We can actually have a religion taking care of the compassionate services, making sure that housing, education, healthcare, and those types of things are being properly administered to by people that do it better than any type of bureaucrat or any type of free market system can make. There is nobody, supposedly, if you really look at it, these people, these ideologues that get involved in religious and religious services, they're there to serve. That in essence, they're public servants, but they're volunteers. They're not elected. Here's people that just, you know, take their lumps all the time. They take persecution all the time. Anyway, we're at a break, so we'll be back with more of these concepts of republicanism, especially American republicanism, as we're moving into it in the next segment. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Now, as I was just laying out, that we actually have a hybrid constitutional republic. We have both a federation and a confederation, but we technically have more of a confederation than a federation, which is why Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and many others of the framers referred to the republic after the ratification of the Constitution as a confederation. They still viewed a very limited, and I'm capital letters, very loudly telling you, a very limited general government. That the states had all of these other rights, privileges, to exercise of those things that were not delegated. That's why I go through the ratification debates all the time to prove to you. Iredell, Nicholas, Madison, Randolph, Wilson of the Pennsylvania. I mean, every single state ratification, and I could list them if I really, I'm not good with names, but if I really took the effort and the time, I could probably rattle off a lot of men that all said the exact same thing. That this is a limited government and these are the only powers that they have the authority and jurisdiction over. It is a principle as well as a fundamental meaning of republicanism. As we start going into the concept of American republicanism, the new American definition of republicanism, which is what I'm telling you has been lost, needs to be re-understood. Republicanism is not just a representative government of the people. It is American republicanism that is representative or a government of representation of the sovereigns. The people are sovereigns. That's why we have our own representative in the House of Representatives. We also have the sub-element of government. The counties are the sub-element of government, and they should have representation. This takes me back to the power of our education system, or I should say the indoctrination, inculcation, brainwashing of our education system and these indoctrination centers. So my challenge with these conservative politicians and self-appointed champions of the Constitution, you know, like the John Birchers, these people that want to claim, you know, the status quo, we're just going to vote good people in and it's just going to take care of itself. No, it's not going to. We have to challenge all of these folks. Anybody who brags about their constitutional support or their constitutional prowess, their superiority in understanding the Constitution, any of these people who talk this way and yet refuse to truly talk about the Constitution and commit to the Constitution are either hypocrites or they're just arrogant, fill in the blank, politicians, you know, activists, maybe that's a better word for some of the John Birchers and some of these people that, you know, just same thing with the Convention of State folks. They're activists and they're refusing to really get into what does it take to comply to the Constitution. They talk about it, but they don't care about the true compliance. They only care about their agenda and their relevance. This is why all these folks are hypocrites, even your politicians. The reason that I really want to harp on this a little bit longer is I cannot tell you how many times I have talked to arrogant politicians, such as the one senator out of South Dakota that just retired. He likes to pump his chest up and pound on it and say, I am the biggest constitutional champion South Dakota has ever had. And yet when I asked him to make a statement and to demand that all public servants make a statement regarding the unconstitutional powers, he hid behind the Hatch Act that has no power to shut him down in calling for compliance to the Constitution. The Hatch Act is all about running for public office and campaigning and those types of things. As near as I can tell, compliance of the Constitution has nothing to do with a campaign. It has everything to do with the integrity and the moral integrity of the individuals, whether they be Democrat, whether they be Republican, period. Whoever's filling that seat is obligated to comply to the Constitution. And anybody and everybody, regardless of party affiliation or regardless of gender or any other type of demographic, regardless, they are required to comply to the Constitution. And calling people out for noncompliance is not protected or not restricted by the Hatch Act. So as far as I'm concerned, that is the most weak-kneed, feeble argument I have ever heard. And anyway, we'll get into these arrogant politicians a little bit later. Like I said, in our next episode, we're going to be covering marketing. In the next two episodes, we've got some really good marketing. So I want to get finished through this American republicanism and this concept. I have not successfully been able to reach out to the state GOPs or the different state GOP chairs. I only have and have been able to connect with a couple. I've not been able to reach out to the state chairs of the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party. I believe their people are, here's three parties that support the Constitution. I think fundamentally these three parties are the parties that support the Constitution. Unfortunately, we spend way too much time with just the Republicans. They all need to be sitting at this table demanding compliance. They need to be working together. But heck no, because they're, again, parties are factions. These guys are divisive. Just by the fact that they are in a party means that they've decided to become divisive. And when people start recognizing the fact that, oh, well, I'm, you know, I have this agenda. The Republican Party claims to be a big tent party, but it has nothing but factions within it, just like the Democratic Party. The only reason the Democratic Party is so effective is because it doesn't matter. They all work together and they're willing to lie, deceive, and do anything and everything because the ends justify the means. Well, you've got these people with noble integrity and supposedly nobility and these other motives that seem to be honorable that, oh, well, you know, when they get called out, they'll usually step down. You can tell by the moral character of a person by when you call them out because they get, you know, something is highlighted, whether they had an affair, whether they did something, you know, they'll actually either come out and apologize and step down. Look at what Knothead of Virginia did. Here is somebody that completely insulted and betrayed the party. And, oh, are we supposed to? They forgive him, and he refused to step down, recognizing that he really had, you know, he didn't have the moral character to actually be in the position he's in. How many people have forgotten what that nuthead had done in Virginia? And the Democrats, he is bending over to the communist agenda. He's violating the Constitution left and right, which is one of the reasons why I keep on telling people, look, there's your constitutional crisis. You have people that are in outright rebellion against the Constitution that must be removed. Folks, we have every tooth necessary to bite and to, you know, bite off the heads and sever these people from public service, remove them and ban them. As a matter of fact, I'll even say that we need to revisit the Tory Act. Anybody that actually has that much disdain for our constitutional process, for our Constitution, they should be exported. Take them. We'll send them to any land that they want to go, but they're going to be treated just like the Tories were treated, the loyalists of other ideologies. If you want to be an ideologue for another ideology that's contrary to our peace, tranquility, and respect for individual liberty and individual sovereignty, then you have no place here. You're just an enemy to us, and we are not obligated to maintain enemies to our good culture, to our good principles, and to our good government. We're not required to allow enemies. I mean, it's why don't we just start sending ballots to China and let them vote in our elections? Why do not we just open up our entire government system to all of our enemies to say, go ahead and just destroy us however you want to? We're not required to do that. We are required to protect and do what we need to do, which is why the framers exercised the Tory Act. They understood allowing British British loyalists were kicked out of America because they were understood as a threat to our way of life, to our paradigm. They wanted to pervert and undermine us. And so when we created this Constitution, even though it may have had these essences of protecting these rights of conscience and so forth, when you become an activist that is actually working and actually demanding violations of the Constitution, you have overstepped your bounds. It's one thing to have an argument. It's one thing to argue the issue, but it is another thing to demand and actually execute things that are direct violations of the Constitution. So when we come back, we're going to define and delineate why we have bicameral legislations, why we have this American republicanism and the history behind that. So please stay tuned, and we will be wrapping up on republicanism so we can move into the marketing in our next segments and then come back to property. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so republicanism, this American republicanism, is so important because republicanism is baked into the Constitution. Every state is violating Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. The framers created a system that protected the minority from the mob, or, you know, in another way of saying it, the mob rule in a lot of different ways. So in the case of those less populated counties and states, they're supposed to be protected from the more populated states and the more populated counties, which is why we have a lot of these checks and balances within the Constitution, requiring 3/4 of the states, not the popular vote, but 3/4 of the states must buy into an amendment before it can be inflicted upon all states. These protections are... I point to the fact that these are divine protections and divine insights that were inspired in the framers in creating this. In a nutshell, American republicanism, as I have said over and over, is recognizing two distinct sovereigns, the people and the sub-element of government. At the federal level, that would be the states. At the state level, that would be the counties. This is why each state and each Congress, or each Congress, Congress itself and each state has been created into bicameral legislative bodies. Bicameral meaning two. We have a Senate And in both the states and in the federal government, we have a Senate that's supposed to represent the sub-element of government to ensure that those minority counties, those minority states with less people, are protected. That's why they're guaranteed representation in the Constitution, in the U.S. Senate. Equal representation. That same principle was driven into the states, and after the ratification of the Constitution, all 13 states rewrote their Constitution and realigned their legislative bodies to align with that U.S. Constitution to guarantee that Republican form of government, of representation in their legislative bodies. That the counties had representation in the Senate and that the people of the county had representations in the House of Representatives. Today, this is being egregiously violated. California and many states have multiple counties that fight for their representation. How can this be? How can this be when we are supposed to have this? Well, so what has happened is they said, well, it's all about the people and represent. So we're going to do apportionment based on population so that, you know, these 100,000 people over here will be equally represented as the 100,000 people over here, where the city actually gains more representation and outweighs the counties and their interests. You can't tell me that the hinterland should be sacrificed for the needs of the port cities. If you look primarily, the big beasts in a state are those port cities. And it's the same thing. We should not be submitting ourselves to these big states because Congress wasn't divided that way. That's why we have the bicameral legislative body, and it's why it requires both houses of Congress to approve many things. If you start understanding the wisdom in American republicanism in representing sovereigns, people that have the ultimate say, instead of representing demographics, that is, it's so divine. Because it does not allow agendas and issues to drive and subjugate and oppress people. Why do all states today have bicameral legislative bodies? You need to start asking these people that you know in the political activists, whether it be party, whatever it is. Ask them, why does the state have bicameral legislative bodies? You know, Nebraska used to have a bicameral legislative body until it was, I think, the 1930s, where they surrendered. They said, we don't need one anymore because we have, as the United States, has gotten rid of, and they actually came right out and recognized that the 17th Amendment destroyed representation in the Senate. If you understand representation in American representation, it is equal to the Electoral College as well. The Electoral College is supposed to represent you, the voters of the congressional district. Any state that has got the law that winner takes all but based on the popular vote has completely disenfranchised your representation. Now, they're quick to say, oh, well, if you have these voter ID laws that you have been disenfranchised on your representation, how come they don't use that same argument on the Electoral College? You know why? Go look at the red or look at the legislative districts. As you see Congress, that is how the Electoral College should actually be voting. And as you would see in 2012, Mitt Romney, based on the Electoral College, should have been voted as president because the representation actually went to and the whole Congress slid towards Republican. But the winner-take-all theory stole that. This concept of popular vote and winner-take-all is contrary to this concept of representation and American republicanism. These things are so important, my friends. That's why we need to go through these principles and reiterate and reemphasize these things. Do you live in a county that is underrepresented? I do. There should be guarantees in each state constitution that ensures each county has a minimum of one representative, as well as the Senate will represent the county, not the people or the apportionment by, because why even have a bicameral legislative body? Why even have a county? There's a reason for that, because our system was to ensure that we were self-governed, that most of the power was left to the counties. The state was supposed to be kind of like the general government, providing general guidelines for the county in administering whatever we wanted to delegate to them. And now we've created centralized bodies of despotism, and we've allowed population centers to literally dictate the direction of our state. If you start understanding what it takes to get back to a balanced system and to keep and protect ourselves from the mob rule, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, those mobs, those despots that live in these city centers such as LA or Portland, Seattle, Las Vegas, or so forth, yeah, of course they want to rule everybody. They want their voice to be overpowering everybody, and they want to edict upon everybody to serve them. That's not how it's supposed to be. The minorities were protected in our system. Apportionment is not regarding the population alone. It includes the geographical, or like I said, the sub-element as well. That's how it's supposed to be done. Each county, again, must have, like I said, one representative. Each county must make their senators represent them. And actually, we need to go to the concept of republicanism would mean that the county commissioners or your county supervisors would be appointing the senator representing them in the bicameral legislative body there at the state. Why is it that the Constitution requires a 3/4 constitutional amendment threshold where states have actually perverted their Constitution to allow 50% plus one of the popular vote to change their amendment? In other words, states' constitutions have become democracies. States are functioning as democracies, not republican forms of government. We should be applying republicanism at every level. The states should not have a popular vote for the governor. I want you to think about this. Your state probably has more red counties than it has blue counties. If the governor was elected based on apportionment of the county, in other words, the county gets one vote as the electors. If you break down your Senate, if you break down your House of Representatives, and you give yourselves the same kind of electoral college, there is a better likelihood that you would have a red governor instead of a blue governor, even in a blue state. And when I say a blue state, there would no longer be a true blue state. All states, almost all states, would be purple, except for there would be most states, or there would still be those states that would be red. Wyoming and what we call the flyover states, those states would still stay red, but every blue state would instantly turn purple, because even if you look at California, even if you look at New York, even if you look at Minnesota or New Jersey, maybe not New Jersey. New Jersey might be a legitimately blue state. But if you look and we actually force the counties to be represented in the Senate would instantly turn red, because there are more red counties than there are blue counties in almost every state. If you start understanding these things, if you start applying these principles, and you have to understand them to apply them, we can reclaim the republic. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. And again, in our next episode, we'll be getting into marketing for the next two episodes. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.